Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. I always look at the time and I'm like, whatever. I go, whatever. You know, we can get so stuck in our programs that we miss the word that the Lord has for us. So I'm in part two of this My Church series that I started last week. And if you weren't here, go back and listen to it online. I started with the sermon called What, Why, and How. And defined what the church is, and we'll do a little bit more of that today. But I did want to start to read just a segment of Ed Silvoso's book called The Ecclesia, and then I'll jump into the rest of the notes that I wasn't able to finish last week. But I want to talk, you know, especially in this next month, leading into to the end of February, about the importance of the church and its critical role in history, in society. And so I'm going to read to you this in a moment, but I do want to say this, that America has embassies all over the world. And even though they are in foreign territory, those embassies are sovereign. And God has an embassy in history called the church. And in his embassy, it's sovereign. And if you get in trouble in a foreign country, hopefully you can get across the line into the American embassy territory, because there, the government of America is being, produced and is being operated over your life. So even though you are in the embassy of America, you are in foreign territory, receiving the benefit of the government of America in a foreign land. You see where I'm going with this? It is so important for you to understand that God had a purpose for the church. And Jesus said, pray this way, that my kingdom will come, and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we in the church, and I'm talking more about what the church has become and what it's not, we are living under the government and within the government and within the benefits of our homeland rather than the land that we are in. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Jesus said, pray that my kingdom, my government, my way of doing things would come and my will from heaven would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God has chosen a mechanism, and he calls it his body, the ecclesia, the church. I'm going to give you more definition about what the ecclesia is, to orchestrate his will that has been established in heaven on earth through the church. And the church is supposed to be the most effective agency in the world. We are in a foreign land in the embassy of Christ. We are ambassadors of a different government, amen, with more authority, with more power, with more answers, with more wisdom than this foreign place we are in. The homeland needs to get inside of this man so that this man can operate with the homeland in a foreign world that is coming against us. And Jesus said, I will build my church. It's not Pastor Verna's church. It's not T.D. Jakes' church. It's not Stephen Furtick's church. It's not Rod Parsley's church. Come on. We're all here as ambassadors of our King. We have established, we are are here to establish his kingdom. He's the name above all names. We're not here to build our name and our little kingdom where we run things according to our will and we conform to the culture around us. No, we are here to defy the culture around us. We are here to love the culture around us, but we are here to affect the culture around us with the kingdom's values, with the kingdom's goals, with the kingdom's, the king's will. Amen? All right. You aren't just some person floating through life. When you connect to the body of Christ, because that's what the ecclesia and the church is. What is the ecclesia? The ecclesia is the governing body of Christ on the earth. Let me just say this. When Jesus said, I will build my church, that word church is a definition that King James, who translated some of the original script, put in to the King James Bible to water down the true governing effect of the church, because no king wanted to hand over the power of government to anyone else. The word originally was ecclesia, governing body. Jesus, when he said, I will build my translation, King James Church, was I will build my governing body on the earth and the gates of hell. He also said, we don't want to have so much emphasis on the spirit and the demonic world. We want more human reasoning. We want more secular teaching within the so-called church. We don't want to stir people up to actually go against forces of darkness that will, overpower anything, and that, and especially things we can't see. So we want to dumb them down. We want to make them sit and listen to secular messages and to rely on us to tell them everything that God said. So we want them to never read the Bible. These are going to be only in the hands of priests to tell them what they need to hear, and only what we want them to hear from us. Do you understand? So what happened with the Protestant movement is somebody got a hold of the Bible and they read it for themselves. And it started a whole new movement. Why? When Jesus said, I will build my governing body in the gates of hell, there must be a real hell. Why would the Savior talk about hell? Why would he talk about this having keys to his kingdom to restrict and bind on earth what needs to be bound, and it will be bound in heaven? In other words, heaven is going to agree with whatever a governing agent on the earth decides needs to be restricted in their family or restricted in their city or restricted in their nation. And heaven will agree with anybody that will loose themselves from every demonic attachment, demonic thing that's coming against their family. When they begin to open their mouth and realize they aren't just people going to a service, a container, a place to be in entertained until Jesus comes back for a church that's sitting there lukewarm and complacent, once they realize that they have power, even if there's not 10,000 in their mega church, if there's 2,000, they have power and authority to begin to go into heaven and govern from a place of authority to release things. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. On the earth, and if we ever let them know that they have that much power, they might rise up and stop taking our control and our religious stuff that we, yokes that we put on them, and they actually might take over. So what happened was many of those who were in control of the script, because you can't change the script. God said, my word is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. And in fact, I have elevated my word above my name. Think about that. at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And Jesus is the word. So his name and his word are not separable. He says, I will always have my word in existence, no matter what movement, no matter what denomination, no matter what secular group, no matter what religious group tries to warp it and twist it and everything else. He said, my word will last forever. And in fact, God has a plan and he has a script that is being played out. And even in the face of stupidity, where man has tried to alter it and tried to control it and tried to hide it and tried to suppress it, God says somewhere, some way, God, I'm going to get my word in somebody that believes my word, and they're going to start not only a revolution, but a revolt against everything that's coming at them and their family, if I could only get them to believe my word. The New Testament examples of church are vastly different from the contemporary notion that it is a place where members go, usually once a week. Back then, church always referred to people, never to buildings, and it was made up of individuals who operated 24/7 from house to house. All over town as a transforming organism, not as a static institution. We're going to look at some of the scripture here in a minute. Its objective was the transformation of people and society rather than acting as a transfer station for saved souls bound for heaven. In fact, the New Testament church was so vibrant and expansive that it overcame the powerful political and religious establishments bent on stamping it out since its very inception. Its vitality is attested to by the fact that in a matter of weeks, it filled Jerusalem, the city that crucified its founder with its doctrine. That's in Acts 5. We're going to read some of that. Leading many thousands in just a few days to join its ranks by publicly confessing that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. This is the scripture I just quoted to you. Jesus is asking Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, and you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, Pebble. Simon, his name was Pebble, little Pebble. Blessed are you, Pebble, Bar-Jonah, for man, flesh, did not reveal this to you. But my Father revealed who I am to you through revelation. And now I'm going to change your name. From pebble to rock, Petra. You're from now on going to be called Peter. What is? And he said, upon this rock, this revelation, Petra, I'm going to build my church, the revelation of who I am, and the gate, and he mentions the spirit world. You see what's happened in so much of the denominations that we have today is they don't talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about the demonic. And if you do, you're weird. Well, guess what? I'm weird. I'm so weird because I believe the word. I'm a word weirdo. I really am. And I don't care. I don't give a rip. I'm inviting you to join the I Don't Give a Rip Club because if his word is eternal and his word rules and reigns and his word will have the final word, then we believe what he said, just like the song said this morning. Peter got the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. And he also then got the word from Jesus. That's what I'm going to build my church on the revelation of who I am, not the revelation of who Muhammad is, not the revelation of who this prophet and that prophet is, and Joseph, and you know, all these religions. God help all of y'all. Help you. He said, on this, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he said, I'm going to give you. And if you look at the word you, it's plural. It means all of you. And if you're a Texan, it's like this. I'm going to give y'all, all y'all, the keys to the kingdom. And then whatever you bind, whatever you lock up, shall be locked up. And whatever you lose, shall be loosed. Let me tell you, friends, there are family members, there are people that are locked up behind prison doors, and you have the keys in the spirit to go and unlock those doors in their life and say, come out in Jesus' name. Be loosed from that prison that you're in the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, upon this rock, this revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Peter is the one that started to write. And we, being living rocks, living stones, are being built up together. Come on. You're a rock. I'm a rock. She's a rock. He's a rock. We're all a rock. Don't you want to be a rock too? But we're all getting united together, being united to the chief cornerstone, the rock of ages, the one that can never be moved, and we are becoming a building that will never be shaken. I wrote a series called Unshakable, and there is one thing that the devil can never shake out of heaven or out of the earth. Only God can take his building out of the earth, and that is the church of the living God, built on the revelation of who Jesus is. You are a living stone. And if you have popped out and you're not connected to that stone and that stone and that stone, come on, as it gives you another, you're stoners, all right? You stoners. Don't judge me on a sound bite. We are stoned together. Woo! Yeah. Welcome to Soul Harvest. Getting a good Pastor Verna message. Listen, I've been a stoner out there, and I'd rather be a stoner in here. Stoned together, come on, built together with a bunch of people that know how to get high, because we are seated in heavenly places far above every principality and power of darkness. See, you need to come to church. You're going to get stoned, and you're going to get high. You're going to get so high in the Most High. There ain't no high like the Most High. But we have churches falling apart. We have churches that can't pay their bill. Come on, really? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he owns it all, and he has money we know not of. He has treasures hidden in the earth that belong to us. Somewhere along the line, we have taken the economist's bait. We have taken their way of doing things. We have immersed ourselves so much in the culture that the culture is now telling us what to think, what to say, when to stay open, when to close, what to do. I'm here to tell you, we are here to cancel every demonic assignment. We have the power to change this earth. I'm so glad my husband doesn't get offended by my yelling, because I was kind of afraid at first that he would be like, oh my God, she's extra. She's so much. I think he loves it. Yesterday, you're watching a show called Young Sheldon, and nothing against the church that they attend. How many of you have ever seen the show? So he's like, man, that's boring church. Like, he's totally getting infected, right? So it's good. Anyways, the early church started to just go, right? Its capacity for growth was so dynamic that 2 years after Paul planted the ecclesia in Ephesus, all who lived in the Roman province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Think about that. Go back and watch the documentaries on the Roman emperors. Their goal was to take over the world. And right in the middle of all of that, Jesus comes. Yeah? And they were Roman guards that tried to crucify him and kill him, hung him on a cross. And it was the greatest victory. And it was nonsense to the people who watched this Savior die. They mocked him and said, you're the King of the Jews? Come on, save yourself. And he was, you know, he just didn't say a word to them because they thought they were all big and bad. He was thinking, you have to go out and kill all kinds of people to establish your government. And then you have them build a statue of you that can't move, can't breathe, an idol. well, I'm going to do something different. While you have to go out and slaughter and kill people to establish your government, I'm going to come in and I'm going to bring dead men to life. And my kingdom's going to be spread through me causing dead men to live again. And yours is going to be spread through you killing live men and making them dead so you can make a statue to yourself. And guess what? I'm not a statue. I'm a breathing spirit. I came before I was ever in a human suit. I came to this earth and I built the whole thing that you get to walk in your little pants and boots around on. But I'm going to establish a kingdom that will never end. And I will never be a statue because I'm not an idol. I'm a living God. Ooh. This is what happens when you ask the Holy Ghost to possess you before you come to church. It began to spread. That surface area of around 300,000 square miles led Paul to go, it's too small. Then he set his eyes on Spain, a place that stood some 3,600 miles by land from Jerusalem, the birthplace of Christianity. And what makes this stunningly remarkable is that Jesus' ecclesia accomplished all this without military or government support. It was instead a massive people movement that swept region after region victoriously as a counterculture to the existing status quo. The magnitude of the church's expansion in such a relatively short time is hard to imagine, much less conceive as the norm in our contemporary environments. Since it was accomplished without seminaries, my dad called them cemeteries. Because you went in there and you came out more dead than you went in there. Yeah? He did it without campuses. He did it without full-time staff or professional ministers. And furthermore, with the exception of some epistles that circulated regionally, it did not have the New Testament epistles and had only occasional access to Old Testament writings. They were being completely led by the Spirit of God. And there are huge denominations today that will talk about Jesus, and they will talk about, you know, God the Father, and they go, oh, yeah, and then the Holy Spirit, and then they move away from that. Yeah? Yeah, well, guess what? That don't happen here. And sometimes the Spirit leads us sing a little longer than we normally do. And sometimes the Holy Spirit tells me to shut my loud mouth and just let him do his work. And whatever he says to do, that's what we're going to do. We live between the tension of structure and flow. We have a God that is all about structure because he's building something. But when we shut down the Holy Spirit, we shut down the power of God that was once delivered to the church once and for all. Hallelujah. We shut down revelation. We shut down the gifts. We shut down the signs and the wonders. We shut down everything that God intended for his church to be about. This thing, this beautiful person, the body of Christ, started so healthy and so powerful. This being together and this fellowshipping and this eating and this sharing in all things and listening and adhering to the teachings of the leaders that God established, it wasn't something that they penciled in on their agenda. It was a living, moving, active, powerful, resourceful organism that started the way that God intended. The governing body of Christ was to be the agenda setter. Yeah? To set the agenda. And Jesus, I shared with you last week, he said that there were two dynamic truths. If you lift me up, I will draw men unto myself. If you believe in me, you'll do greater works than I did. We have to grab a hold of that, individually and corporately. And my question in point C is this: could it be that we have confined our four walls, our what we call the church, to four walls once a week? What is designed to be a 24/7 people movement out in the marketplace? As we go further in this, I'm going to show you that Jesus chose a secular entity called the ecclesia. That was a term in that era. And it was a secular term. It was a place where governmental decisions were being made. And he chose a secular system, and he said, I'm going to build mine like that, because that's where they make decisions and governing decisions and discussions are taking place. And, you know, they sit around tables and they make decisions that affect everyone's lives in the region. Well, I'm going to build mine. And guess what? I'm going to turn tables into pulpits. Yeah? I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that through fellowship. And my people are going to start to get a grip on the authority that I gave to them. And two or three of them are going to start to get an agreement over a meal. Listen, they don't need to have a multi-million dollar building with smog machines and flashing lights and leaping leprechauns and skinny jeans and you know, I mean, listen, it's not necessary. Or even wildlife women in fur rats. You don't need all this. Although I do like to wear these kinds of things. You don't need all that. What I'm saying is your table at your house, when you invite someone to your house to share a meal with them, becomes a pulpit for the governing of God. Do you understand? We have confined church. I go to church. No, you are the church. Go to yourself. Yeah? And don't pencil yourself in once a week. This is something I do. Church isn't something you do. Church is who you are. Amen? I want you to say that. I am the church with her, with him. So you can't be the church by yourself because you got to come together and get stoned so you can get high and start. Yes. You guys will never forget this one. Could it be that we've restricted ministry to professionally trained specialists instead of ministry being the work of all the saints? It's the work of all the saints. Joe, you are a preacher on that boat. Joe has a commercial fishing business. And I think about Peter and how much God used Peter. Peter the potty mouth. Thank God, because I was a potty mouth too. And sometimes I still am. I'm a potty head. I'm a pothead. Think about that. Oh, my God. Y'all go tell everybody in town. Go to Soul Harvest. She'll get stoned and get high. And the pastor is a pothead. Listen, I have to take down every thought and take it captive just like everybody else. Y'all know what you're tracking with me. Sometimes you just have to speak the language, right? It can get really crappy in here. It's a busy place. Thank you. It's a busy place. God chooses to come in to your potty room. Come on. That's where he chooses to come in. And he's right there saying, you're better than that. Come on. You're higher than that. You're above that. When the enemy comes in and says, you can't, he goes, well, is that what I said? He says, you can't. Because you can do it through me. Yeah. God wants you to get a grip on this. Your work is your worship. We do everything as unto the Lord. I was a pastor in the corporate world before I ever became one. In what God, you know, we look at as the so-called church. In the gathering, God established me as a leader. But when I'm at home in front of my grandkids, I'm still a leader. I'm an ambassador in the embassy of Christ. His embassy is his idea for history. And he wants you to get a different mindset that I don't go to church, I am the church. I'm the church with Dr. Beth. If it's the two of us, Dr. Beth, we are the governing body. We make decisions. We call things down from heaven. We take authority. We get an agreement. My agreement is for your family to come out of darkness. Your agreement is for my family to come out of darkness. To see those lost loved ones start to come into the kingdom. For their life to go from poverty to prosperity. For their life to go from diseased to healed. For their life to go from dead to living. Amen? I agree with you. you agree with me, and we come against every principality because Jesus said there is such a thing, operating against our life, operating against our calling, operating against us. We have an opposing team, and I'll save that for faith, family, and football. We have an opposing team. And Jesus made mention of it right in the same sentence when he was talking about building his church. And he said, you are the winning team. And if I can ever get you to understand that, you will have opposition till the day you see me face to face. But the truth is, he can never take the game. He can never take the game. Husbands and wives, if you can just get an agreement, you may not agree on how the toilet paper comes off the roll. You may not agree on a number of things, but one thing you must get an agreement on. Who is Jesus? Who is he in this home? What does he mean to my life and your life? What does he say about us staying in prayer and not fighting with one another? Come on, husband, when you're mad at your wife, the Bible says your prayers are being hindered. What do you think the devil tries to do? He tries to pit husband against wife because he knows the power of prayer. When you say, no matter what has happened, no matter what kind of mistake you've made, there's mercy in this house because I represent Christ and he is a merciful God. Come on, there's forgiveness in this house. There's agreement in this house. There's love in this house because I house the one who is love. Come on, let's work through this mess and get back in agreement. We have children to raise up. We have generations that need to know who God is. Hallelujah. People go, Soul Harvest is my church. No, it's your family where you come together as part of his church. We all need to have a place of fellowship, amen? A place of corporate gathering because there's where the power is. Jesus said, where two or three agree, there I am in the midst. Come on. Why do you think the devil said, you know, I know, let's start an epidemic. And then let's legalize control of the very thing that God said the enemy will never have control of, which is the church. And then they're gonna tell us that we can't gather, that we can't come together. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government, the church, the ecclesia, will be on his shoulders. Your life is on him. It's being built on him. And it says, and of his government, there will be no end, ever. You know what? With all due respect, POTUS, you can never end the government of God. Never. You can't control the government of God. You can't legislate it out of the earth realm. You can't silence it. You can't shut it up. You can't cause it to stop. You know why? Because we are not of your kingdom. We are of the kingdom of God, and there shall never be an end to his rulership. You are important. You are needed. You need to stay together with the family of God. And I'm commissioning you right now. Call somebody up who you haven't seen in a while, and don't invite them to church. Tell them, I want you to come to worship the Lord with me. Come on, let's go. Let's go and get together with some other believers. Amen? We use this language. Say, you know what? Let's pray together. But I would love for you to get into corporate worship with me and just come on. There's a family that will, you will gain strength from being around them. There's a place where love flows. There's a place where there's hope in that house. You know why? Because they have a table that they've turned into a pulpit and they're not preaching, you know, legalism and law. They're preaching Jesus. They're preaching the love of God. And there your family is going to receive deliverance. And there your family is going to receive hope. And there, at the place of convening and gathering, your life is going to be instructed and it's going to become better. Won't you come with me? Amen? Jesus himself said, I want my house full. And he said that is all of our job, not Pastor Verna's. You know what? It is my job. But we've become, I'm not against flyers, but very few people come to church because of a flyer. They read it. You know when they come? They come through invitation. Personal invitation. You're the church. You are 24/7 ambassador of Christ. Always. How you are at your work and when you're out in the marketplace and all of that, how are you to be? You're to be looking out over people's lives, and if you see them being controlled, you may not walk up to them and give them a prophetic word, you may, but you can pray. You can pray for that person. That may be the only, you may be the only person in their life that saw that. And your prayers are powerful, and your prayers prevail. Yeah? You start to look around you, and I'm trying to fire you up to not take it anymore. Maybe I'll play the song, We're Not Gonna Take It.
I can't play that.
You can't take it. No. Come on, I'm trying to fire you up. Will you stand with me in this time, in this season, and start looking around? Because the truth is, all evangelism is your responsibility, and it starts in prayer. Prayer evangelism, in the name of Jesus, I'm prophesying this right now, is going to start to spread like a flash flood all around this region. Because most people say, I got to go to a prayer meeting to pray. Let me tell you something, honey. If you're waiting to go to a prayer meeting once a week to pray, you're missing the power of God 24/7 every day. Paul said, pray every day on all occasions without ceasing. Start to look around. Pray for yourself. Pray for your house. Pray for the lost. Pray everywhere you go. Pray all the time. Pray about everything. Come on. Open your mouth and begin to govern with the authority that God has given to you. Oh, I think I'm done. I'm getting drunk. Oh, God. Woo! Oh, raise your hands. Say, Jesus is Lord. The Bible says no man can do that except by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And you know, even our formulas, we got our formulas for sinners' prayers, and I'm just going to shatter every paradigm right now. You can't say Jesus is Lord. Demons will say his name, but they will never say he's Lord. The Bible says that demons say the name of Jesus and they tremble. But the one thing they cannot do is say that Jesus is Lord. And if you just said Jesus is Lord, it's because no demon in hell could keep you from saying it. Welcome to the kingdom. Woo! If you need prayer, the team is going to be here. I love you. Don't quote me on sound bites today. Bring somebody with you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.